Despite her two jobs, Betty now took on another and a second identity. She started to raise money for the Dutch resistance. To support her work, she was supplied with secret lodgings and a fake ID card. During the day, she was Betty Levin, a Jewish woman who wore a yellow star, shopped in the few stores available to Jews, and sewed for Jewish prisoners. At night, she was Jo Bosch, Aryan woman and resistance fundraiser. All the activists who'd gone underground required identity and ration cards and somewhere to stay. Jo Bosch's job was to find donations. Meanwhile, she was encouraged by the organization to stay legal, to remain Betty Levin for as long as possible. This double life was very risky. The risk wasn't just being caught as Jo, but also remaining as Betty. In the spring of 1943, for instance, the lists of council staff were constantly being reviewed at German insistence in order to reduce numbers. During one of these reductions, Betty lost her exemption and only got it back at the last moment. Then there was a roundup in the city center, with bridges over the canals hauled up so that no one could escape. Betty managed to retreat to Jo Bosch's lodgings for a few days and camped out until she felt that it was safe to return to her council work. And then finally, on June 20, 1943, the soldiers came to the door with their list. There was no easy way out. Betty realized that if she presented her Jo Bosch ID, she might not be believed. Her real name, Betty Levin, was on the German list after all, so they would be suspicious if Jo appeared and Betty did not. Her punishment would be bad. And yet, if she was believed, things wouldn't be much better. Then she would be an Aryan who had stayed overnight in the home of a Jew. The punishment might be worse, or at least more immediate. So Betty experienced the supreme irony of being asked by the soldier at the door whether she was an Aryan and showing him her Levin ID card with the J stamped on it. When the soldiers had left and the 10-minute warning period was almost up, Betty took the three girls downstairs with their blankets and went back inside to collect her own rucksack, water bottle, and bread bag. An inner voice said to her, "Don't go." She listened to it. She left the apartment and crept up to the attic. The attic had a bathroom, and she hid in that, careful not to make a sound. She could hear commotion in the hallway downstairs with the Germans cursing and shouting at the Jewish occupants that they weren't moving quickly enough. She readied herself for discovery at any moment. She knew there would be terrible consequences, yet, extraordinarily, she heard the front door close with a bang, and there was silence.